We've got probably one of Rhode Island's most famous mimes sitting right in the studio with us, Michael Grando, and I'm thinking that maybe that's what a great segue, because Michael, one, you've been one of the famous characters of Water Fire now for how many years?
Oh, it's been about 9 years. But I have a question. How do we interview a mime on the Radio Promenade? Did we think through this through on the production end?
I might be in trouble. No, I didn't think it through.
Do you have a voice, Michael?
I do. Okay. I have a voice.
Oh,
the voice behind the man.
Often silent, but I am here. Yeah. Water Fire is an extraordinary event for me also. You know, I have been on the stage and pretty much all of my adult life as a mime. I've occasionally acted, directed, done other things, but 99.9% of the time I'm silent. And it's just one of the most remarkable, intimate experiences. Now, it sounds crazy for me to say it's an intimate experience, but in a certain sense for me, it's a lot more intimate than being on the stage in that I'm able to move through, if you will, the audience in a certain sense, and they are totally free to speak to me. I don't reply often unless it's in a mimic gesture or something like that, but the proximity of the audience changes from a theater in the round or a theater which is a proscenium to a moving experience on the water, and it's archetypally probably a lot older in a certain sense than what I'm used to on the stage. You know, there's fire, you're outside.
Absolutely.
There's no artificial lighting per se.
It's happening in real time.
It's happening in real time. You're right there with folks, and they're free to express themselves to you, and often do, and I can oftentimes either pretend that I am or act that I am just that crazy person.
Well, Michael, this is, you know what, we're going to hold that thought,
sure,
because we're going to be right back in a second. We've got to take a quick break. Thank you. You're listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. And welcome back. You're listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. I'm Bronwyn Dannenfeltzer, and I am here with Barnaby Evans, the artistic director and creator of Water Fire, and of course our favorite mime and phantom boatman, which is Michael Grando, who actually has decided to break his silence and speak with us today, which is very nice. So thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome. It's a real pleasure to be able to speak with no one seeing me. That's a good thing, you know. I remember...
That's the exact opposite of what... So now we have a disembodied
voice
rather than a body that doesn't have a voice. Okay.
Well, you know, it's... you know, after centuries of tradition, mime's ancient, before spoken
before theater.
Language,
yeah,
very
absolutely.
Old, primogenesis of many things growing out of that. But, you know, people may not be familiar with it when they come and see me, and part of my job as a mime is to educate them to what we do and do not do, perhaps. You know, like, I don't speak, and people want me to speak sometimes, so I have to speak to them gesturally, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. And I was remarking during the break to Bronwyn that at times I take my cue from the actions of the audience, and other times I'm completely engrossed in whatever the plot of the moment seems to be for me, but that can change momentarily, and indeed has to, because you're moving down the water at I don't know what speed, but you're not in one particular place at a time, and you sort of get to do something, get it going, and you hope that, you know, it kind of follows you like a wave down the water with the audience, you know. And I've always discovered that when I came around the bend of the river into the big circular area by Providence Place Mall, that I would often hear an ooh and a ooh come up from the audience, you know, because they don't expect someone to be either that close or there or featured, you know, in that sense. And I've often felt, too, that there's this connection between the people who are on the shore, perhaps in a vicarious way, feeling themselves in that role, and the everyman Pierrot kind of character that I like to portray likes to involve that spirit of interchange between myself, an individual, and all of the folks on the shore. You know, I want to be in a sense their surrogate on the water, you know, and do the crazy, wonderful things that I get to do and the serious things that I get to
absolutely.
Do too, and reach out and let them know that there are other beings on the planet who love them and care for them, and that the whole idea of communicating with them is to make sure that everyone understands that there is more alike between us than different between us.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm always energized, even though it's physically taxing some nights, you know, just maintaining your balance and
sure.
being gestural and keeping in the moment. I'm always energized. It takes me a little while to unwind afterward because the energy that the people bring to the event is yeah. phenomenal. You know, it's the same kind of theatrical energy you like to have happen in a theater.
Well, it's thousands and thousands of eyes focused on you.
Remarkable.
And often your dialogue back is through your eyes
it
and
is.
Through your emotions.
So it is.
And wonderful intimacy there.
Yeah, trying to make a gesture read as far as possible and that it's truthful and yeah. that your feeling is committed to that moment. That's, I think, one of the most beautiful interchanges ever. You know, we get it on the stage, but when you get it from 70,000 people, it's really remarkable. It's like being a baseball star in a sense, you know.
Well, I sometimes think of these Van de Graaff generators that generate this great big spark that just zaps across. Because, you know, the first time we introduced you to Waterfire was when Swarovski was here with an international conference. And you came out as Harlecchino of the Commedia dell'Arte.
That's right.
In
That's
a costume
right.
that came from Europe, which was covered with the Swarovski crystals.
It was a remarkable costume.
It was a beautiful costume.
That it fit was amazing because it was made for a very svelte, tall European model. And, you know, if anybody's seen me on the water and remembers, I'm 6 feet one and at the moment about 130 pounds.
You're svelte.
It fit like a glove, you know. Which was amazing, and it was kind of unisex. You know, Harlequin is that kind of character.
Absolutely.
And it looked really wonderful, and it's something I will always remember. I have some great photographs of it myself.
Well, it's not just the costume. You embodied the character, and suddenly the sort of awkwardness of Harlecchino and
yeah.
this whole Commedia dell'Arte tradition came alive, and many of the visitors that night were from Europe, and they were just blown away with Waterfire, with the providence, with the idea of the fires and the water, and of suddenly having this figure come to life.
It was a really wonderful feeling. I think the interesting thing I've learned over the years. I mean, Marceau, my mentor.
Marcel Marceau,
yes. The person with whom I studied, my master, my mentor, and dear friend for many years. Well, you know, it's unusual because Marcel and I both said when you finish your performance, you suddenly become very verbal. And we would get together either. He's seen me perform also, so he would yeah. we would get together afterward. I would see him after his, he after mine, when he had the pleasure and the opportunity to see me do it. I hope it was a pleasure for him. But we talked nonstop for hours afterward, because after all, how many times you get to talk to someone who's involved in the same kind of profession, especially one as archetypal and as strange, I guess, in a certain way, as being a nonverbal communicator. I found that the costume and the character, rather than as an actor and a performer trying to ride it, I let it ride me. That's mm-hmm. something that one learns to do in time. If you find the central core of it and you are harmonious with it and your energy interlocks nicely with it, you know, there's a kind of marriage between yourself and the character, and that yeah. character sustains you rather than you having to sustain it. So the more into the character you can become, the more the character becomes you. Yeah. And that's yeah. the wonderful part of Waterfire. I start off the evening as myself, and as soon as I hit the water, I'm puro, you know. Oh,
and I know that I had the pleasure to actually film a movie with you called The Phantom Boatman, which
yes.
features Waterfire. And
well, yes, it does, and it was stimulated. It was inspired by my experience at Waterfire. It was inspired by being on the water, seeing the places with the shadows and the light, the chiaroscuro of the moment, and the power of the earth and the water, you know, and fire. I mean, we're there with the basic elements of the universe, and seeing it from that place and places of light and darkness, I suddenly said, oh my gosh, I'm out here on the water being this really lovely character. I said, I wonder if there's an equal opposite strange character that may be part and parcel of this, that's also part and parcel of my characterizations. And at first I thought I was going to write a horror film, but it turned out to be something much more beautiful.
It was
It turned out to be a love story, a beautiful love story, you know?
Well, you know, you taught me something very interesting. You have such a craft as a mime, where I was trained as a classical actress, But I, well, poor Barnaby knows, I never shut up. I am always talking. So to act across from someone and not be able to speak, I found to be, it was a bit daunting. But I think I would love, where can people see the Phantom Boatman?
Well, Phantom Boatman can be viewed on YouTube. It's called Phantom Boatman Final Cut. Just go to YouTube and hit the prompt for, you know, dial it in, whatever you do, type it in, Phantom Boatman Final Cut, and you can have it. It's 11 minutes long. It's not very long. It's got a wonderful score by a wonderful young man named Parent Cloutier, who's with a band called Beirut, whose parents are both native Rhode Islanders and who was born in Rhode Island. And Perrin resides in New York City now, but I hope people enjoyed it. It's silent and in black and white. It has to be silent.
Well, there's no speaking, but there is a soundtrack.
Yes, there is a soundtrack.
So again, it's
Well, it's a lot like Waterfire in that sense, exactly. You know, and a lot like my own performances. My performances are always accompanied by at least some wonderful interlocutory music or music during it, you know. No sound effects per se, except me pounding the stage once in a while with a foot or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But that play between the bridge between the seen and the unseen music fulfills, you know, is remarkable for a mime. It's just a really, really, really good feeling to be in tune with something that propels you with energy. And I've always drawn on music as an inspiration for ideas that I wanted to express in theater and mime. Yeah. And I find it to be an unending source of pleasure to be able to extrapolate from the feeling that music provides for the spirit, the soul, and the personality.
Absolutely.
To that visual aspect that somehow, through some gift of God, and I have no other way of putting it, comes through people who perform in this way.
Now, Michael, in classical mime, you would not have music. It would be silence, right?
It would be mostly silent. I mean, maybe some interlocutory, you know, opening, closing music, but not per se through the whole thing.
Because I've noticed in your performances at Waterfire, you're very sensitive to the music, and there's a synthesis that's happening between the audience, between you, the moment, the wind. You're often with flowers that you're gently tossing to the audience.
Well, a number of years back, I played Drosselmeyer in the Nutcracker for Festival Ballet of Rhode Island when Winthrop Corey and Christine Hennessy, the founders of the company, were there, and I drew a lot of inspiration from the music there and was able to play that character in a mimic way as a dance character, and music is the source.
Absolutely. You know, it's been such a joy and pleasure to see you on the water all these years, and it was delightful to see you last Saturday. And
thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming in to share your insights and your experience, and there's much joy and wonder you brought into many people's hearts.
My thanks to you, Barnaby, for the opportunity and the
pleasure.
Not
sure if I should call you Perot or Michael.
Either.
Or both.
I'll respond to both. And thank you to Bronwyn.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.